So now coming to the real crux of the problem, Upanishad says that there is vidya and there is avidya. And then it says that those who follow avidya, they enter into darkness. But those who follow vidya, they go into greater darkness. Again, a startling statement. But if you follow very wisely both avidya and vidya, very wisely combined together, then you will attain to that great delight. If you follow only vidya, there is a greater darkness. If you follow avidya, there is a darkness. But if you know how to combine both together, then only you will really enjoy immortality. So this also now gives a description as to what is enjoyment. From the very beginning, it speaks of enjoyment. In the first part, it spoke of enjoyment. In the second part, it says, where is the moha, where is shoka, where is grief. Now it describes real enjoyment as enjoyment of immortality. Whenever it speaks of enjoyment, it really means enjoyment of immortality. The only thing that is really enjoyable by man is immortality. Everything else, even though he might say that I enjoy it, it is really a kind of a misnomer. The only thing that he can really enjoy is immortality.
Can you say that God has made like a big picture puzzle in which we are part pieces of it? So as a person gains delight, I mean, he reaches that level, so like, you know, he's getting enjoyment that my one piece of puzzle is fitted into the picture.
Yes, you are right. Very true. Very true. Absolutely. Each individual, as I told you, the secret of the whole thing is that each individual has to mirror the reality fully. In the individual, with his own angle. His individuality also should not be lost. Keeping that individuality, if the totality of the divine can be reflected fully, then his work is done. So the whole secret is this, you might say. So the moment you approximate to it, you are reaching the fulfillment of God's own work. Or you might say God himself is doing it. You means God himself is doing on this, on the mirror side, he himself is doing it.
And how come this karma comes into like
the karma?
If you do Burek Karam, your rebirth will be like, if your life is computerized by God, then Burek Karam, Achhe Karam, why that? And then your next birth is accordingly to that.
Now when you say computerized, it may give an idea as if 10,000 years ago God had decided that you will do this now. But God's vision is not like that. God has eternal now.
God has?
Eternal now.
Okay.
In his vision, it is not in the past he decided that you will do this now. He decides now that you will do this now. Because for him there is only eternal now. We are trying to see two things at the same time, which are rather, you might say, jar with each other. This raises a big question of time. What is time? To the child, one day looks like 1 year. To the mother, one day is really only 1 day. If a child has done something in the morning, at 12 o'clock he says, I ate long, long ago in the morning. Or sometimes, even if he has done 2 hours ago, he says, I ate long, long ago. But to the mother says, you ate just now, actually. Not long ago. So it depends upon what is your position of your consciousness. The larger your vision of things, the shorter is the time duration. The smaller your vision, the longer is the duration of time. When we are in the company of those whom we like very much, the time flies very fast. And if you hear something very boring, or if you see a movie which is very boring, it seems as if it takes a long, long time. So this time, what we call time, is a very curious thing, it's a very flexible thing. So when we say that God pre-planned 1,000 years ago, we have in our Indian concept that 1,000 years or 1,000 years multiplied by 10,000 multiplied by 10,000 is 1 day of Brahma. That is our idea of our Indian Puranic idea. It is only 1 day for him. And I go one step farther and I say that is not even 1 day. For him it is always eternal now. There is no past, present and future at all. All that happens now only for him.
But why is he making some people do Bure Karm? Why is he making some people do the good karm?
Now this
and
is a very important question.
Why do you say offer yourself? Because if he is you, then why do you need to... Then who are you to offer anything? In your last lecture you said, offer yourself and everything to him. Then why...
You are the individual. God has made you as an individual. This was a special effort that he made because he wants to make in the individual the totality of himself. So in the individual he has put this nature, it is his own nature. You might say God offers to himself, but God offers to himself as an individual.
The whole.
To the whole, totality of himself. This is the special quality of the consciousness. When you play with the small child, sometimes you play 2-3 roles at the same time. The child is watching you and you play out 3-4 roles before the child, so the child goes on laughing because you speak as the house owner, you speak as the one who occupies the house, you speak as a servant in the house, make all dialogues yourself. And the child watches all that. So, you yourself work out in all these fashions, and this is a capacity of consciousness. You are not incapable of it. God is not incapable of individualizing himself. He is transcendental. He is universal, but he is also capable of individualizing himself. And when he individualizes himself, then he can look at himself from this angle. And that is what we are doing actually. We are all gods, looking at God from the other side. Looking at God from the other side.